and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a terrific Tuesday today. A lot of stuff going on as always. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Absolutely wonderful. This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. And doing great, Austin. Nice and toasty down here still. So it's summertime in Florida. So if you are a tourist and you want to come to Florida, come in January. Don't come in the middle of the summer. Just thought I'd mention that to you guys. Oh, by the way, Supreme Court, by the way, this is not a good ruling for us. The Supreme Court is now saying that police can use evidence that is obtained illegally. This is crazy. In a massive failure of the justice system, police can now use evidence obtained illegally after police illegally stop people. There's still no punishment for the police officers for their illegal stop. Say goodbye to your Fourth Amendment protections. Thank you, Patriot Act. Thank you, National Defense Authorization Act. The Supreme Court ruled that the evidence found by police officers after illegal stops may be used in court if the officers conducted their searches while learning that the defendants had outstanding arrest warrants. Clarence Thomas, writing for the majority in the 5-3 decision, said such searches do not violate the Fourth Amendment when the warrant is valid and unconnected to the conduct that prompted the stop. Judge Sotomayor still defends people in this bad Supreme Court decision because people of color are disproportionately targeted by police. Justice Thomas' opinion drew a fiery dissent from Justice Sotomayor, who said that it's no secret that people of color are disproportionate victims of this type of scrutiny. So, guys, I have to agree with this. So I'm here with this. Guys, if this is where it starts. Okay, say, well, if they have a warrant against them, you can do all of this. Guys, this is not okay. This is where it starts. Pretty soon, all of this tainted fruit that's obtained by the police is going to be admissible in court. And I realize that sometimes justice isn't served properly when this is done. But, guys, you've got a Fourth Amendment right against unlawful search and seizures in this country, and we've pretty much lost our Bill of Rights. They've been stripped and stripped and stripped and stripped, and now we're having this decision come down. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right, especially what happened on Saturday up in Minnesota. I didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday, but this was something that really, really bothered me when I saw it. And it's kind of, we're still unclear of all the events that happened because both officers are saying they didn't wear their body cameras. They weren't recording them at the same time, supposedly. But if you guys saw on Saturday up in Minneapolis, a Somalian police officer, which is a Minneapolis police officer who was a Somalian immigrant, he shot a 40-year-old Australian woman in what appears to be a completely unjustified murder, yet the Washington Post, the first thing they want to put out is they're concerned about Islamophobia and backlash against the Somalian community. If you guys know anything about Minneapolis, they have an incredibly big issue up there with the Muslim community trying to come in and basically bring in their Sharia law. The girl, Justin Damond was her name, she was a yoga teacher. She basically was called up the police department because something was going on outside, so she called the cops, and essentially the cops showed up, and so far what they're saying right now is that she was standing at the passenger door of the police vehicle talking to them, and then the officer basically drew his weapon out and shot her multiple times. So nobody can really figure out what's going on with this. All the background on it's really hush-hush. The media is doing everything they can to try and justify everything for the Somalian and protect the Islamic community up there. But so far, this looks like it was a completely unjustified murder. And now on top of it, the CBS put out an unbelievably biased story today pushing for gun control in response to this shooting, which makes no sense to me at all. I mean, they always talk about how cops should only have guns and they need to ban guns, yet in the report published today, CBS began blaming America's notorious culture of gun violence in the second sentence of the article and even quoted anti-gun academics in the third sentence. It appears the only way the mainstream media can take advantage of this shooting is to push gun control, despite the inherent contradiction that a government-trained cop is the one who shot this lady, who from what we've seen now was completely unarmed. We don't know, like I said, if this had something to do with Sharia law, if this had something to do with a Muslim basis, if this guy was just being angry. I don't know, Dad, but it definitely, we got to do some more research on this, but this is very, very sad on Saturday.
Well, remember, this lady called up. She heard something behind her house. They pull into the alley. This lady, Diamond, in her pajamas, went to the driver's side door and was talking to the driver, and then the officer in the passenger seat pulled his gun and shot Diamond through the driver's side door. I mean, I don't even know what to say about how this happened. I mean, just basically killed her, just murdered her. And of course, anytime they have a body camera, here's what people don't get. These body cams these cops carry, they can hit stop and they can hit erase on these body cams. They don't have to have any evidence of this. They can erase it and then they can lie about what happened. I mean, they don't even have to have them turned on. I mean, this is complete and total nonsense. I mean, I wish somebody would have been videotaping all of this. Perhaps it wouldn't have happened. But I mean, this is crazy. This is happening in the United States. The Minneapolis police officer who shot her, she was a 40-year-old woman, in the alley behind the house, his name was Mohammed. That doesn't sound Muslim or anything, nor. Meanwhile, state investigators have confirmed that they did not find a weapon at the scene, so she was unarmed. Nor, the first Somalia police officer to patrol the 5th Precinct in southwest Minneapolis, joined the department in 2015. Multiple complaints against him already. She had alleged that she had called a 911 to report an unknown male who was sitting. This is another incident, by the way. She's another lady had basically called up by 911, and she ended up filing a report against this guy. So this is a big mess. So what's going on in Marion, Minnesota? Why did Nora shoot Diamond? Why were the officers' body cameras turned off? Why wasn't there dash cam footage of the incident? Who's the cop who was driving the squad car that night? And why does he have to say about this? I mean, this is a major, major cover-up of somebody who looks like they were assassinated because they were in their pajamas or they didn't have their head covered properly, or she got mouthy with this guy. And the Muslims don't like that. They get really upset about that when women start getting mouthy and stuff. I mean, you know what the Sharia law does. They take them out back and stone them or throw acid in their face. These guys are pretty rough. And if he came out of Somalia, there's some tie-in with all of that as to why he did that, Austin. What are you thinking? What's your next story?
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot more to this story that I think is going on. When you start to allow these individuals that have absolutely zero interest in trying to integrate into American society. I mean, when these guys are Muslim Sharia law, 100% committed to that, you got to remember their overall goal with Sharia law is to get Sharia law completely and totally the dominating law of the land. That's their goal. So with these guys, I don't exactly what you said. She may have been mouthing off to him. She may have said, I don't know why you guys are out here doing this. You're not doing anything. I need some help with this. Who knows? But this guy, like you said, he's already had multiple complaints on him. The fact that we're allowing immigrants from other countries that have diametrically opposed values and beliefs to be in law enforcement positions really boggles my mind. But up there in Minnesota and also in Michigan now, you have some areas up there that are so pronounced as far as with Muslims that a lot of these guys, they don't even have enough applicants to fill the police force, so they're having to take in a lot of these Muslim immigrants that are coming in. And this is how it starts. When you start bringing this in, you start allowing them to be the law and order, the police, the enforcers essentially on the street, you're giving them carte blanche immunity to do whatever they want. And apparently this guy's showing us that he's doing exactly just that. Also in Germany, same thing happened again over there, as you've seen. The migrants in Germany poured into a local carnival, basically started raping young women and attacking police. The first thing they did when they came in, the asylum seekers, they busted through one of the fences on Friday and started victimizing all the girls. They also went after the cops first thing with basically clubs and rocks and started fighting the cops first thing so they could get them out of the way so they could basically come in and pillage the festival. These guys are showing such a lack of respect for the law enforcement security of Germany, and the problem I have is Germany is capitulating to this. They're allowing these guys to do this, and they're not using any type of significant force against them, nor are they making any type of publicly announced setup of what they're going to do. If they start telling these guys, listen, what's going to happen every time we catch you and we're able to handcuff one of you degenerates that are coming from the Middle East that want to come here and rape people, we're going to extract extract you and dump you off into your own country again, and you will not be allowed back in. You will be banned from entering this country. We're going to put you on a plane once a week. It's going to fly the Middle East. We're going to boot you back out in whatever town we pick, and you're on your own again. If they started doing that, and they did that with 10, 20, 50, 100, 200 of these guys every single week that were going into these towns and acting like total lunatics, I guarantee you it would snap these guys tight, especially if they put it on the local media. But you got Merkel in there and the globalists backing her. They want to completely destabilize Germany, as it is one of the biggest economies in the EU, and the only way to bring down the EU is to bring down Germany first. That way they can break down the currency, come in the United States, do the same thing here in order to bring the New World Order. So once you see where this is headed, you kind of have a clear picture, but it's very sad to me, Dad, of how aggressive it's starting to get now right in front of us. I never expected it to go this fast, but I knew a couple years ago when they started pouring into Europe by hundreds of thousands every week that this was going to turn into a serious problem.
Well, you know, it is a serious problem, and one of the reasons they hire these Somalians and these guys from Africa is because the population of these areas like Minneapolis are so high in Muslims, and these people that speak Somalian, they don't have a way to contact or to speak these people and who can translate. That's one of the big reasons they hire these police officers from other countries, not even thinking about the fact about how their culture dictates what to do and what not to do. Another example, in Austria, in broad daylight, Austria, in Vienna, a woman was assaulted by a Somalian Muslim, basically beat her almost to death for walking her dogs. This is crazy. A shocking attack occurred in broad daylight in Vienna. Ingrid, who is 54 years old, lies in the hospital after a brutal attack. The motive, her two dogs. The animals are considered filth, as asserted by the attacker, a Somalia Muslim migrant. According to the Prophet Muhammad, dogs should be killed unless they are working or service dogs. She was talking with the neighbors at the garden gate, with a deaf, almost blind, three-legged collie. Then basically this Muslim walked up to her and just beat her until she was hospitalized. Then, as the victim said, the Somalian Muslim woman, 18, as a legal resident of Austria, attacked her. She grabbed me, spun me around, scratched me until we both fell to the ground. It took three men to pull her off of her. She goes, and I couldn't feel my legs. I mean, this is some crazy stuff that they think this is okay. Guys, none of this is okay. If their culture says the dog should die, unless they're service dogs, and that's how they want to live their lives, stay where you were. Stay in Somalia. If you want to live in that cesspool, stay down there. But don't bring this nonsense into our countries and pretend like you don't know that it's not okay just to beat people into a hospital stay because they've got dogs. What a nuts. This is nuts, Austin. What do you think?
No, exactly what it is, what we've talked about numerous times on there. So, I mean, this is something that everybody has to be aware of, you know, and this is why I'm so adamant about maintaining and preserving our firearm rights, the Second Amendment rights. And a lot of people are like, well, you talk about that a lot. I talk about it a lot because it's so doggone important. We can't sit back and allow ourselves to be disarmed like all these other countries have, and like some of these states have as well. I mean, some of these states have gotten completely out of control as far as what they are allowed to do legally with firearms. It's funny, when I was at the beach on Sunday, and we were sitting by a couple ladies who were from Canada. They're down Florida on vacation from Canada. And so, of course, you know me, I got into different topics, and they were actually pretty sharp on a lot of stuff. And then, of course, I was about to bring up the gun topic with Canada. I always do with Canadians, because they just, up there, most of them don't know what to do with guns because they're all banned. And they said, well, what is the deal with you guys down here in Florida and guns? They're like, almost all the time, we always see something on the media, somebody getting shot, doing this, doing that. I said, listen, I said, here's what you have to understand. I said, you guys have allowed yourselves to be disarmed because you're basically a branch of Britain still. They don't want you guys having firearms. And they're like, yeah, like, we really can't own anything. I've never even shot a gun before. And I said, yeah, that's the problem. And I said, the media is always going to make sure they always show the negative aspects of anything. I said, when you have a population that's armed you're bound to have somebody get shot eventually. But they never want to show you the hundreds of thousands of times over the years that we've had law-abiding citizens, concealed carry holders, patriot citizens defend others and save their lives with firearms. The only thing the media ever wants to do is show a negative incident with a firearm. I said, we all grew up with firearms down here. I shot my first gun when I was 2, and I said, you're down in Florida, and I said, do you see us running around with machine guns shooting each other? And they're like, well, no, actually, we haven't seen that at all. I said, exactly. I said, the media makes you think that down in America it's the Wild West and we all run around with automatic weapons and have firefights in the streets every single day because guns are legal down here. I said, it's quite the opposite from that. I said, you guys are from Canada on the left side over there. I said, go down to Montana. I said, they're all open carry over there. I said, they have hardly any crime. I said, one of the main reasons that we have such an issue, and only in some areas that we have crime down here in Florida, is because the population density has gotten so overbloated in this state that's already not that big that you're bound to start having that. I said, but when you go into states that are legally allowed to carry firearms, legally allowed to possess firearms, I said, you usually have very little crime if you allow the citizens to legally defend themselves like you can with stand your ground and stuff like that. In states where you go where if you brandish a firearm, you get 25 years to life, but then criminals can do other things and not get any time in jail or 1 or 2 years, it completely makes the person that's trying to defend themselves criminalized just for having a firearm, just like they've done in California now, where if you have more than a 10-round magazine, it's a felony or whatever it is. That's insane to me. Overnight, you're making a citizen, a law-abiding citizen that wants to defend his family or his country, a felon because he has a magazine that holds a couple more rounds. I said, criminals don't care about gun laws. Muslims that want to come over here and kill Americans don't care about gun laws. None of that ever crosses their mind whatsoever. So we can't get so wrapped up in we have to have the government and the police here to protect us and keep law and order. We have to start basing ourselves on a community-based approach where we all support one another. In the event that something breaks down and society is not the way it is right now, we can all band together. I've got multiple friends locally that I train with on a regular basis that are all heavily armed, and we all know exactly what to do if a situation were to arise. That's the way you have to start being in your community if you can legally do so. If you can't, then you have to make your own decision about what you're going to do in that state, or you need to move. That's my personal opinion on it, Dad.
Okay, great little oratory, but I got to correct one thing. I never taught you to shoot a gun when you were 2 years old. Now, I know I took you out back one time when you were small. I don't remember. I think you were 3 or 4 or 5, and I did some target practice for you, showing you what a gun was, that it wasn't a toy. I did that. But I never let you handle the firearm or shoot the firearm, I don't think, until you were 8, 10 years old, and that was like a 22 at a target range, and we were being very, very careful. So I'm very careful with guns with kids, because the first thing you got to do with a small child is you got to make them realize that gun is not a toy. And if that gun is in your house, number one, you know, a lot of states require trigger locks, you need to do that. And number two, you need to make that child understand very, very quickly that that gun, if they're small, is dangerous. And that's one of the things that I did do when you were younger. I did discharge a weapon, you know, in a very safe manner around you, with you standing quite a ways behind me, so you could hear that it was a 45 and it was extremely loud. And I think I even shot a watermelon to show you what happens when the thing discharges and the watermelon exploded. I don't know if you remember all that, but I guarantee you after that you wanted nothing to do with touching real guns that were locked up or put into the gun case anyhow. But guys, be really careful with young children. Make sure you train them at a very, very young age. Now, Austin did have toy guns. He did have those when he was very young. He loved his little toy guns. He liked to walk around with double six shooters on his hips. He liked all of that. He did have that when he was very small. But as far as handling real weapons or firing real weapons, that didn't happen as far as I know, Austin, unless you were some babysitter took you out and did that, which I was unaware of.
Well, no, I'm glad you clarified that, but that's exactly what I meant as far as teaching them how to shoot, be around a weapon, and make sure it's safe. The biggest thing I always tell people is safety and learning how to have proper gun control and muzzle control with your weapon. You were adamant about that with me when I was younger, and I feel like that's where a lot of people go wrong, is they get too scared of firearms, so they don't teach their children to have that fearful respect of a firearm. So when they start getting around them, they don't even realize how dangerous they were. But yes, I absolutely remember the watermelon when I was young, and I remember doing that, and that's what I was referring to. I'm glad you elaborated on that, though, if anybody else was a little confused about that.
By the way, most diseases that have been long eradicated in the developed world are now showing their ugly heads again, and we need to be aware of that. This is one of the reasons that I've spoken so many times about how these third world countries with all their horrible diseases are being brought into the United States again, and this is simply not okay. And you got to realize, guys, that when these guys are coming in from these third world countries, they don't need to be. If they're bringing in cholera or dysentery or typhus or protozoan infections or parasitic infections or viral infections such as polio and hepatitis A, I mean, this is some stuff that's bad. And, you know, we eradicated this because we actually know how to use a toilet in our country. So these guys don't know how to do all of that. I mean, they're dumping, you know, poop out in the middle of the street and everywhere else. I mean, it's just awful. And then we bring them into the police department, I guess, if they're in Minneapolis, and let them shoot people. I mean, think about this for the gun for just a second. If the lady from Australia, who's, by the way, also been disarmed, if the lady from Australia, when she heard somebody in the back alley, if she had just called 911, stayed inside with her firearm if she had one to keep the doors locked, she would be alive today. But because she walked outside and thought some Somalian cop wasn't going to shoot her, he basically shot her, and now she's dead. I mean, this is crazy. This guy actually pulled a gun out, the lady standing there in her pajamas, and just mowed her down. So, guys, I don't think we're ever going to find out the truth on this one. But, guys, that's the other reason I tell you, and this is what Grady Judd says in our county. Be able to defend yourself. It's going to take us anywhere from 5 minutes to 20 minutes to 30 minutes to get to your house if something's going on, and be able to defend yourself. It's really, really important that you know how to handle firearms. Austin, what's your next story?
Yes, absolutely. Also, too, now they've done some research. The article by Al Miner, they said IRS now has awarded Obamacare premium tax credits without verifying citizenship or lawfully present status. IRS has overpaid premium tax credits by $800 million and cannot recover the overpayments. They basically went on to say here that Obamacare premium tax credits to individuals without verifying they were legally present in the United States or checking their citizenship status. When individuals purchase health insurance in the Obamacare market, they're eligible to receive refundable credit that helps them cover their premium. In order to qualify, an individual must be a citizen of the United States, supposedly. The IRS officials told that the IRS does not perform any compliance checks to verify eligibility based on an individual's citizenship and lawful present status, the auditor said. And this, again, goes to show you, in my opinion, what we've seen now with the illegal immigration into this country. It has been a concerted effort by the globalists, which obviously the IRS is just the, you know, pit bull of the Federal Reserve. That's all they are. They're an enforcement agency of the Federal Reserve, owned by the Rothschilds. They have intentionally done everything they can to bring in as many people here to give them free lunch, free housing, free money, free everything, to create this giant, it's a basis now of where we have literally, I mean, almost 50 million people in this country that are sitting on the safety net of the United States. This was not done by accident. This was not done at all by accident. And the close to 50 million, those are just on food stamps. I think there's 47 million on EBT's food stamps. There's way more that are overall on all types of other government subsidies now. This is where it's at. And now we see the IRS, the people that literally take money from you by force at gunpoint or by force of jail time, have awarded over $800 million in overpayments to people that they did not verify and cannot verify their legal status in the United States. So all I have to say is we want our money back. All they want to do is spend money. We saw that yesterday. I talked about the military budget now. It's what, it's $700 billion that Congress just approved. It doesn't stop. They're spending, making more irredeemable paper currency. That's why I tell everybody, silver or gold is a lot, especially silver, I like the best because it's so easy to afford. That's something you need to put a little bit of money in if you have some discretionary income, because once this paper dollar, this whole pyramid scheme that they've built it on with the Social Security and everything, once this whole thing starts to come down, the paper's only going to be good for a very, very short period of time after that, and then it's going to go over to the New World Order, One World Currency. And so the only way you're going to be able to buy things essentially is going to be the black market, which will be a lot of the gold and silver base, because that's where it's always gone to for the last 2,000-3,000 years. So very, very good, guys, to keep your eyes open for all this stuff. Be aware of what's going on. You don't have to be some crazy prepper and have 20 years of stored food and all types of silver and a million rounds of ammo. That's unnecessary. It's just, you're just hoarding things at that point. But being prepared, having a couple thousand rounds of calibers of your choice, having some beans and rice, having some of the storable food buckets that we have, having purified water, having some silver, all this stuff, guys, is very, very important. And I can't stress you how much I highly recommend, if you haven't done so, you at least start putting some of that stuff aside every month, even if you only put aside $20, $30 a week for some canned foods and some water storage. That right there, I mean, you think about that. So you say $25 a week. You know, that's $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year just by doing $25 a week that you could start putting silver or food or water or ammo aside, whatever you need to stock up on, it's right there. So, again, I always highly recommend you guys look into the future as far as and stay prepared for any situation that may happen.
Absolutely right. In fact, 10% of your core asset should be in some type of precious metal, period. I mean, if you're worth $50,000, you should have $5,000 in gold or silver. I mean, just put it into a core asset, you know, put it somewhere that's safe, you know, preferably, you know, some kind of bank storage facility, and just basically learn that, you know, 10% is not going to affect your lifestyle at all. It won't. It really won't. And just don't touch it, and just allow it to accrue. In fact, if you read, there's a really little book, good little booklet you can read. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon. And one of the key things it says in that little booklet, number one, one of the things it tells you is tithe, and it also tells you to save 10%. Because if you just put that 10% in your core assets every single month, every single month, every single month, it's amazing over a period of 20, 30, 40, 50 years how much money you can actually save up and not even really feel it. And I learned a long time ago there's some good financial planners and there's some really bad financial planners, but regardless of whether you make money or not, they get paid their commissions. And so I've learned that already with financial planners. So it's one of those things that just be careful with what you do. And by the way, here's another interesting article. It says, oh, by the way, he also was right about the ammo. Don't do some ridiculous hoarding thing, but I like 9mm, I like 45, I like 12-gauge shotgun shells, I like 308, 223, and I like 44 caliber. And the reason I like the 44 caliber so much is because I've got a really nice 44. It's just it's a Smith & Wesson 44. It's a beautiful weapon, pistol, you know, revolver. But the whole thing about it is that I like the 44 caliber because I've got a Henry repeating rifle. It's like old school hardcore. Nothing ever goes wrong with it. And it's super accurate. It fires 44. And so it's a good crossover weapon in the event that you had to use the handgun ammunition for the rifle ammunition. And if I was back in the Old West and all I had was a couple choices, old timey guns, it would be a 44 caliber along with a Henry repeating rifle because I could interchange the pistol ammunition along with the rifle ammunition. That's just how I look at things. Now, Austin may probably see that a little bit differently, but that's how. What do you think about that, Austin? What are your favorite calibers?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you pretty much named them on that. I mean, I'm a big fan of 45. Also, I mean, 9mm is good for high capacity. 5.56 is a great round as far as 223 for the AR platform. I'm always versed on that my whole life. The 7.62-39, which is the AK round, I'm a big fan of that. Those AKs are super reliable. They're not very accurate unless you buy some of the high-end ones. But as far as getting magazines and ammunition for them, you can get them dirt cheap. The 44 you just talked about, this is another aspect, guys. If you're into guns, and we'll just talk about it for a minute, this has kind of turned into a gun show, which is what it is. Fun thing to talk about, and it's important. It's good to have a revolver. I always say have at least one revolver. The reason why I say that, no magazines to be fed. You don't have any 30-round mags. You don't have any pistol mags. It's a cylinder. You know, Dave Smith and Mill Wesson, you can get six. Some of them are seven. I've seen some eight ones with the high, the sport ones. Having something with a revolver is really, really good as a backup weapon because, A, it's almost pretty much impossible to jam on you. I mean, if you buy a good revolver like Smith & Wesson, I've never had a Smith & Wesson jam on me, ever, not once. Secondly, you don't have to feed it magazines, which means if you lose magazines, if you can't get any more magazines, if you break them for some reason, you know, the weapon's pretty much useless. If you have an AR-15 with no magazine at all, you can drop fire one round in and drop the bolt and shoot it, but it's essentially a bolt-action rifle, which is not very good for much of anything as far as trying to do any type of fast follow-up shots. Revolver, you get a 6-7 rounder, you don't need them, lad. You can get speed loaders, you can even get pretty good, you can hand load them pretty fast. And like Dad said, with his lever action 44, that's one of the coolest setups for me. If I was going to be out in the wilderness as far as no backup, no long-range support, no overwatch, nothing, I would exactly what I would have. I would have a lever-action 44 Magnum because you could still take down pretty much any substantial game in America with a 44, and I would have a 44 revolver as well, both running the same caliber so you don't have to run different calibers, no magazine fed, easy to load still, fast to shoot if you practice with them, and very, 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 very reliable weapons that you're not going to have to worry about cleaning on a regular basis. AR-15s are great. You run them in the sand. You run them in high heat. You run 2,000-3,000 rounds through a day through them in training, you're going to have jams on. It's inevitable. It doesn't matter what high-end one you get. With revolvers, with lever actions, it pretty much is next to impossible to jam them unless you just stuff so much mud and dirt and rocks and grit into them. But at that point, you throw them in the water, rinse them off, slap a couple more bullets in them, and they clean themselves right out. So, yeah, that's my preference. As far as what I carry on a daily, it's usually a Glock 19 or a Glock 30. The 30's a 45, the 19's a 9. The only reason I run a 9, which I don't like the knockdown power of it, but the Hydroshot rounds that you can carry, they're pretty good for 9mm, but 17-round mags in it, you run two extra mag pouches, you're running two 17-round mags. I mean, you're running a substantial amount of ammo just on your person for any type of situation. And I always tell people, I brought this up on the show before, I always have essentially, you know, a grab-and-go, you know, firefight bag. I mean, if something happens, I have one bag that can go on my shoulder. I keep a pistol in it with about six mags. I keep a full medic kit, which is a blowout kit, IFAC, you know, tourniquet, quick clot, everything. I keep some food bars in it. I keep water filtration in it. I keep flashlights in it. I keep maps in it. Keep a pen in it. A couple other little essentials. And that's just always goes with me. It's always in my truck. Whatever vehicle I'm driving, it's always with me. Doesn't matter where I go, I grab it and I have it with me. And that's something that you can really put together pretty cheap. If you're trying to budget, you can put a revolver in there if you want to keep it really simple. But always having something like that as a backup in the event that your vehicle breaks down. If you have an EMP and you got to walk home, you know, Dad and I have talked about that before. We've gone on, you know, just a road trip hour away to somewhere, and we say, man, you know, it'd be interesting if there was an EMP and we had to walk home. That's, you know, an hour drive turns into a very, very long walk. You start having to walk 60, 70 miles. I mean, you're talking days, days to get back home. And I always like to be prepared to at least be able to handle myself as far as with food and water filtration and weapons, you know, at least 5 to 6 days with zero support from anything. That's just my preference. Nobody has to follow me on that, but I always like to be backed up as far as have that with me. So just an idea since we're on that topic today, Deb.
Right, by the way, guess what happens in states where food stamp recipients have to work? This is an interesting article. Leftists are constantly reminding us of the merits of welfare. They tell us that without the help of the taxpayer-funded handouts, millions of Americans will starve or be left homeless. There's no doubt that some people really do need help, and I'm talking about infirmed and widows, those types of people, or elderly, or people that are senile. I got that. But this black and white view of welfare doesn't paint the full picture. Conservatives and libertarians have suspected for decades that many of the people on welfare are just actually mooching off the system, which I've seen that repeatedly all the time. In regards to food stamps, they've suggested if we offer food assistance on the condition the recipients are working, or at the very least that they are volunteering or community service, making an effort to train themselves a new job. So what happens in states when work requirements for food happen, when you have work requirements for food stamps? In Alabama began in 2017 requiring able-bodied adults without children in 13 counties to either find a job or participate in work training as a condition for getting food stamps. Guess what happened? Massive reduction of the amount of people who are getting the food stamps. They figure they might as well go get a real job. So guys, think about this for a second. How in the world, you know, did we get into this situation? I mean, food stamp rolls plummet in states that restore work requirements. Plummet. And see, this is something that we have to get. I mean, states are allowed to waive the rules for able-bodied adults thanks to the 2009 economic stimulus. As the rules loosened and the country sputtered out of the recession, which, by the way, is not true, food stamps enrollment soared to record levels, peaking at, like Austin said, almost 50 million people in 2013. Yep. So, guys, it's just and according to Alabama, between January 1st and beginning of May, there was an 85% drop of recipients getting food stamps. It went from 5538 in these counties to 831 people getting food stamps. The rest of the people basically went back to work. Guys, we've got to stop giving money away for free and food away for free. Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. I understand, again, there's old people. There's people that are physically infirmed. There's people that basically can't work. People have got cancer, that kind of stuff. I got that, or young children. But, guys, able-bodied people need to be doing something. And, you know, I mean, last week, you know, we had a bunch of hedges at the office. I got the chainsaw out. I'm out there cutting hedges for 2 days with a chainsaw. I'm out there raking, cleaning things up. I'm 62 years old. I mean, are you kidding me? I don't mind, though. Austin came to work. I'm there like at 7 o'clock in the morning working outside. And he's like, wow, Dad, you're really doing this? And I'm saying, well, yeah, it just needs to get done. And see, that's me doing that. Well, you don't have to do that. No, I could hire somebody to do that. That's a fact. But, you know, sometimes, you know, when you hire people, it's just easier to do it yourself. Have you guys ever noticed that? Sometimes it's just easier to do it yourself. Now, I don't have the stamina. I wasn't going to work until 2 or 3 in the afternoon in the heat of the Florida sun. I have more sense than that because I don't want to get a heat stroke. But the reality is this. There's nothing wrong with good, hard, physical labor every once in a while, unless you've got some type of physical disability where you simply can't do it. And speaking of physical disabilities, vitamin K2 has now been shown as effective in rheumatoid arthritis. Isn't that amazing? It's a brand new study that has just been released. I never put the K3, D2 together as far as helping rheumatoid arthritis, but they have found now that it's showing a tremendous promise in the treatment and prevention of a wide range of health conditions, including arthritic conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis. I mean, this is an amazing program that they've actually put together now using the D3 K2 to do this. Also, if you do have rheumatoid arthritis, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, make sure you stay away from the nightshade variety of vegetables. That's eggplant, bell peppers, tomatoes, and those type. And there's one more. It's eggplant, bell peppers, tomatoes, and
artichokes, isn't it?
No, it's not artichokes. It's, what is it? Oh, here we go. Now we're going to play 20 questions with the listeners. All the listeners are saying to us right now, well, we know what it is, Ted. Why don't you know what it is? Because my brain slipped up on me for a second. Give me a second. It's white potatoes, eggplant, bell peppers, and tomatoes. That's the other one. Avoid those four. Take your cod liver oil on a regular basis. Take your D3, K2, and along with your other supplements, and you'd be amazed at how quickly rheumatoid arthritic conditions will go away, especially if you throw some turmeric in there on top of them all. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, that's really cool as far as that research on there, the K2. The turmeric's an incredibly good anti-inflammatory. We get great results with that all the time. I mean, that's one of the biggest ones I always recommend. And then stack it with the cod liver oil. So, I mean, you get a pretty good little stack right there with it, bud.
Yep, and the black, and I like that. I take the black seed oil. Oh, by the way, ex-speaker, child pervert, pedophile, weirdo, Dennis Hassert, ex-speaker of the House, has been released from federal prison early. Surprise, surprise to everybody. Former U.S. House Speaker Dennis Hassert has been released from federal prison after he began serving a sentence for bank fraud in connection to his effort to buy silence of the former students and other people, the young boys that he had sexually abused. I mean, you know, these guys, you know, I'm going to ask this question too, okay, because this kind of irritates me a little bit. How in the world do these people get elected to Congress? Why don't we have a bunch of stinking weirdos up there that like to have sex with little boys? I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, how in the world do these people who a lot of them have never had a single job in their entire life, they've gone from college directly into civil service and they become our speakers and our senators. They never have any work experience. They can't relate to anybody and we put them in there and then on top of everything else, they're perverts? Oh, God, Austin. I'm sorry, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Dennett Hassert. I mean, just another one of the Washington sickos. But what do you think?
No, exactly right. It's infested with it up there, and it's nonstop. That's why, I mean, we talked about yesterday on the show. That's why we're trying to expose this crap for what it is. and really show people all the truth. Also, too, guys, we need to be aware of what's going on with cell phones now. According to data released by a French government agency, 9 out of 10 of the new popular cell phone models exceeded regulatory limits for radiation when retested to actually reflect the way in which people carry and use them. The exposing findings are now being dubbed as PhoneGate, have sparked new calls for more testing and regulation and control on these cell phones. Government agency ANFR, which is an acronym for France's National Frequency Agency, tested hundreds of cell phones, including phones made by manufacturers such as Apple, Motorola, Samsung, all the popular ones. All the phones had formerly been found to be compliant in earlier laboratory tests, which involved measuring radiation absorbed by a liquid-filled test dummy. However, the test used a separation distance when measuring radiation. When the phones were retested in contact with the body of the dummy, a disturbing 90% of them exceeded the manufacturer's radiation test limit, and in some cases, official limits. In fact, some of the phones tested up to 3 times higher than their original readings. The French government does not require testing of phones in a carry position close to the body, but surveys have shown the majority of users do indeed carry them in that way in pockets, fanny packs, and even bras. So be very aware of this, guys. If you have your phone with you, if you don't need it, don't keep it right on your person. You can keep it on your desk. You can keep it in your purse. You can keep it in your vehicle. You can keep it in your center console. A lot of now the vehicles, you know, you can tie them into Bluetooth in the vehicle, so you don't even have to have your cell phone on. You can put it in the center console. You can throw it in the back seat, and if somebody calls you, it'll ring through your vehicle. That's the best thing to do. That's usually what I do on it, because I've noticed with a lot of these new cell phones, when I've used them before, as soon as you use them for a little bit, if you're talking on them, they're on speakerphone or anything like that, they get hot very, very quickly. That's not good. I mean, that's like microwave energy. That's what it's doing. It's cooking. So if it's in your hand, if it's up against your head, if it's in your leg, that's putting out a significant amount of radiation towards your body. So be very, very aware of that, guys. What do you think about that, Dad? Almost none of these phones pass the regulation testing when they actually test them up against the body.
Well, we're working on a product right now. In fact, I've got one. It's a phenomenal product, and it completely blocks the radiation from my cell phone. One side of it, the side that goes next to my body, it's got a complete and total, it's been tested. I mean, it's UAL tested. I mean, and so it's phenomenal. And so we're working on trying to get those in inventory for Health Masters. If you guys are interested in having access to one of these that block it for the Apples or for the iPhones or for whatever, call us up. Let us know. And we'll work on getting this thing in our inventory. But I use it, and I've had it for, gosh, you know, 8 or 9 months now. And I absolutely love it. Plus, it makes a really good case because you can put a couple credit cards, driver's license in there, stack a little, you know, throw $20-$30 in the bottom of it. Plus, you can actually carry it on your person without worrying about radiating yourself. And if you close it, you speak through the part of it that blocks the radiation and hold it up to your head and have a private conversation without cooking your brain. So, yeah, you know how I am about it, Austin. I'm all about it. But by the way, back in 2007, foreigners were snapping up record numbers of U.S. homes. Well, guess what, guys? It's back again. This whole housing market bubble is back again. Foreign buyers closed on $153 billion worth of U.S. residential properties for the 12 months ended in March. That's a 49% increase from 2015 to 2016, according to the National Association of Realtors. Florida, Texas, and California drew the most international buyers, and foreign purchase of U.S. residential area surged to the highest level ever in terms of the homes sold and dollar volume. I mean, this has gotten huge, huge, huge. It's bad, bad, bad. It's all about what's happened to us with this giant boom that we had in the housing market. You know, houses that were selling, you know, for $100,000 in foreclosure 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago are back up to $400,000 or $500,000 again. Guys, it's no good with this, what's going on with the housing market right now. Be very, very careful, because it will come to another giant drop off again. It's what they do to take your stuff. What do you think, son?
Yes, and I mean, to our listeners, be very careful if you're flopping houses right now or you're planning on trading out of another one. I've seen a lot of people doing this lately, even some of my friends. The equity in these houses is so high now because of them buying them a couple years ago for a pretty good price that they're worth so much on paper. They're turning around trying to sell them and buy these other houses that are even more expensive and overbloated. you guys have a good house that's built well and it's solid and it's reliable and you've been paying it down and you've got it down, you have some equity in it, I would hold it personally right now. If you're trying to get out of something, obviously it was a bad deal or too much work and maintenance, that's one thing. But don't get greedy right now. I've seen a lot of people doing this. The same thing that happened 2005, 2006. There was a house right down the road from us that ended up, the peak of it, it was going for right at like $390,000. After 2008, the house sold for $91,000. It was like a five-bedroom house, like 3,800 square feet. This is what happens when they start allowing individuals that shouldn't be buying these types of houses at this price range to buy them, and they're giving everybody credit, and they're continuing to flip these houses and flip these houses and flip these houses and make more money and more money and more money on them. This is what happens when there's no regulations. And again, we just got the brunt end of it in 2008, where they got a $700 billion bailout with these banks that allowed this crap to happen, and it's turning it all over again. The problem is this time it's going to be even worse than it was before. So yes, be very careful if you're building a house, if you're buying a house, make sure you have enough equity in it that you're trying to, you know, keep the payments down, and don't be flopping in and out of them, have another higher payment and another higher payment just because you can flip out of it right now and make money on it, because in essence, you're not necessarily making money on it. If the housing market collapses again next year, and now you have a house that you've bought that you've got $400,000 or $500,000 in, and you have this huge payment, and now the house is, you know, being appraised for $150,000. You didn't make any money. You definitely got it handed to you as far as the bad end of the deal. So if you got something that you don't have a whole lot of money in right now, even though it may be appraising for very high, be very, very weary of flipping these houses and getting involved in ones that are a lot more expensive with these high payments. I saw a lot of people do that, and a lot of people lose their houses and get foreclosed on, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago. And that's just not something I wish on anybody. That's a rough position.
Yes, yeah, bankruptcy position is what ends up happening to most people.
Yeah.
By the way, artificial intelligence is the greatest risk we face as a civilization. This is a quote by Elon Musk. He's the head of the CEO of SpaceX, and he claims that government needs to begin to regulate artificial intelligence prior to the technology becoming a threat to humanity as a whole. This is not far first warning from the entrepreneur about artificial intelligence. And in fact, one of the other authors have said, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. You know, on all these stories where there's a guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, I can control the demon. It never works out, by the way. Musk stated the artificial intelligence is the greatest threat we face. Quote, AI's rare case where we need to be proactive in regulation instead of reactive, because by the time we are reactive with AI regulation, it's too late, he remarked. Musk then threw a contrast between AI and traditional targets for regulation, saying, AI is a fundamental risk to the existence of human civilization in a way that a car accident, airplane crashes, drugs or bad food are not. So this is interesting. This is, you know, he goes on to say, I know from our sources deep inside Silicon Valley institutions, they are genuinely believe that they are going to produce AI so powerful relatively soon that people have their brains digitized, uploaded to these AIs, and live forever in simulation, therefore have eternal life. It's like a religion for atheists, he added. And given you're in a simulation, why not program the simulation to have endless drug and parties around you? Assange said that the vision makes them work harder, and the dystopian consequences of their work is overshadowed by cultural bias, not perceiving it. He concluded that the normal perception someone would have regarding their work has been supplanted with this ridiculous quasi-religious model that is going to lead all people to nirvana. Guys, this is exactly what we've been talking about over and over and over again on the show. The AI, this mark of the beast, all of this stuff, guys, is really, really bad, bad news. What do you think, Oz?
Yes, there was a movie that I saw. It came out years ago, and I can't remember the name of it right now. It's a very strange movie. I don't recommend watching it unless you can get it edited. It has some really weird stuff in it. I think it had Gerard Butler in it, if I'm not mistaken. And what it was is the whole society had basically done exactly what you said. They put these goggles on, and it basically went into their brain, and they had an basically a virtual reality experience all the time. So they would sit there, and what they would do is these people that would go into the virtual reality would basically get paid to do all types of weird stuff, while other people paid money to do other weird stuff, and everybody just sat around in this weird virtual reality all the time. It was really, really strange movie, but you're exactly right, what you were just talking about. That's where they're trying to go with this. That way they can completely enslave and control the entire population. I know Harrison had a set of those cheap VR goggles that I tried on a while back ago, and they're very weird. I didn't like them at all. I tried them on for a couple minutes. They made me nauseous. I didn't even want to use them. I don't like them at all. A, I don't think it's healthy to look at a screen that's an inch away from your eyeballs. It just doesn't seem like it's a good idea to me. Secondly, I don't like stuff where I can't see anything around me, and, you know, you block yourself in, you lock them into there, so there's no outside stimuli. Very, very weird stuff with all that. But yeah, be very wary of get involved in that. I don't recommend you buy it. You let your kids buy it. You know, video games is your choice. You know, if you have regular video games, you know, if they have to play them, okay, but put a time limit on them. Don't let your kids sit on these video games for hours on end every day and all night and all weekend. It's not healthy for the developing brain. It can cause a lot of social issues, a lot of behavioral issues, and it's just not good for them at all. And a lot of these video games have a lot of subliminal things they've added into them. Obviously, it's the media. Obviously, the globalist control, a lot of these big companies that produce them, and a lot of weird stuff in some of these video games. This whole generation is getting so wrapped up in the virtual reality and the video games. See, my generation, Dad's generation, we're never going to be accepted of this. We're never going to sit back and be like, yeah, that's cool. We're going to do that. Well, it's okay. Just let that happen. We're never going to be cool with it. Never, ever. It's not going to be okay. No. This younger generation is a whole other story. They're on a whole other level of what they're going to accept because of how digitized they've been, how much virtual reality they've already been exposed to, and how it is the norm to have these phones that are like pocket computers. They can literally go anywhere with you, do anything you want at any time with these huge screens, and they're super clear. That's their normal. I mean, I still remember when cell phones were like the little brick button cell phones, like the size of a brick. And I mean, that was the best cell phone you could get a hold of. That was, you know, 20 years ago. Now it's a whole nother level. So just be very careful of what you're letting your children to be exposed to and get a hold of, especially at that young of an age, and the radiation aspect, what I was just talking about with Dad. Girls, when they put those on their stomach, you're actually radiating your ovaries. So the girls are putting them in their front pockets, girls that are playing with iPads where they lay it on their stomach right there, all that radiation is going right into their ovaries all the time. Be very, very careful about that as well.
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, now the FBI is coming around for what we've been saying, and they're issuing an urgent warning about spy toys that could put privacy and safety of children at risk. Creepy playthings can record kids' conversations, track their movements, reveal their location, and even allow perverts to talk to them directly if they get hacked. Now, parents have been urged to steer clear of spy toys designed to snoop on innocent kids' lives. And the FBI has issued an urgent notice concerning toys that are packed full of sensors, cameras, and microphones to record a child's words, and GPS locators to track the children's whereabouts. Mattel's Aristotle is tipped to be the Amazon Echo for kids. It sparks serious privacy concern. Smart toys and entertainment devices for children are increasingly incorporating technologies that learn and tailor their behaviors based on user interactions. These features could put the privacy and safety of children at risk due to the large amount of personal information that they will share. Spy toys are now on sale across the world, and last year parents were warned about a doll called My Friend Kyla, which allegedly recorded kids' conversations. I mean, guys, this is getting weird, and it's getting really, really creepy, especially with young children. So, guys, just keep your kids away from all of this mess. Guys, I want to thank you so much for supporting Health Masters, for listening to the show, for being part of our family, for praying for us, for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you. I want you guys to know you guys are the best. I love you, and I appreciate you. Austin, I'm going to go ahead and write the summary. We'll let you finish the show. God bless you guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, bud. Absolutely. Yes, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for all the support on here. And today will be the last day of the product of the week sale on the Purple Sticks, the B12 formula we have. those will be going back to regular price tomorrow, and then whatever product you guys voted on, which it looks like the enhanced sleep support in the D3 with K2 is winning on the website. So go there, check that out today, and vote if you're interested in those. Also, too, be sure to check out all the kits, the basic healthy lifestyle kit, and we have the blood sugar kit, the alpha male stack, a lot of really, really popular kits that people have gotten really good results from. And you click the maximum health kits, you can see all the ones that we've put together over the years that have been very popular and very effective. So we appreciate that, guys. We appreciate the support. Thank you for all the emails, and thank you for, you know, like Dad always says, buying your multiple from us. You know, just buying your ultimate multiple and supporting us with your multivitamin really helps us out substantially. And when people do that, it helps support the show. It helps support the website, because I've told you guys multiple times, and I'll say it over again, we're not going to advertise the show out. We're not going to turn it into an infomercial. We're not going to have a bunch of, you know, ads every 30 minutes, every 15 minutes, commercial spots, pop-ups all over the website, commercial slots all over the website. We get inundated with emails with people want to advertise on our show, on our website, want to put multi-level marketing garbage on our website. None of that is ever going to happen. We're not interested in that. We don't want to do that. We want to be able to completely support our website and our show solely, so nobody ever has the ability to come in and pull funding from us or try and come in and say, well, we want to do this and we want to do that. You guys can't say this and you can't say that because we're giving you money or we're supporting you or we're funding you. That is never going to be an issue with us. That was the big thing that I told Dad when we first started the show. So we appreciate it, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for forwarding us to your friends. We send out the emails on the website if you're on the newsletter every single day. Different articles we change up on there sometimes. Also, too, we have the links to the show so everybody can see, you know, the show right there. It goes right to your email. If you want to listen to it, you click the link, bam, it goes right to it. You can listen to it every day. If you want to forward it to a friend, it's super easy. You can just forward it to them. And get this out to patriots, to, you know, community that really want to wake up and listen to stuff. Support us. Show everybody what the truth is about alternative media and what we can actually get going. Because, you know, the Hagmans, us, Dave Hodges, of all of us here, you know, we're trying to keep this thing running as fast as we can and try to wake up as many people. Because the more people that we can wake up in this country and get them on that level and really say, hey, we want to make a difference. We don't want this to continue the way it's going. We want to have another generation for our kids. We want to bring our country back to a Christian society and a government by the people, for the people, that actually has rights, not hiring immigrants from Muslim Sharia countries to go run around and shoot people for no reason at all. That's not okay with me. That's not acceptable in this country. I really hope he's brought to justice and they don't try and scapegoat something around him and blame somebody else because of what he did. These guys, if they really do commit murder in first degree like this as law enforcement, they need to be held accountable for that. They should not have any type of free pass just because they are a law enforcement officer. That is a very difficult job, but also, too, they need to be held to a high standard. So, guys, we appreciate the support. Thank you for everything. Email us at healthmasters.com. You can go to the search bar at the top and type in the word contact, or you can call us 1-800-726-1834 anytime, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. We appreciate it, guys. You have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.